Today on Renewing Your Mind, the memorial service honoring the life and ministry of Dr. R.C. Sproul. Welcome to this special edition of Renewing Your Mind. Our founder and teacher, Dr. R.C. Sproul, went home to be with the Lord December 14th. And on December 20th, a memorial and celebration of Dr. Sproul's life was held at St. Andrew's Chapel, the church Dr. Sproul co-pastored for many years. Ligonier Ministries sits on the same campus as the church, and the grounds were filled to capacity with people wanting to honor him. In addition, thousands of people from around the world watched the service live online. On today's program, we want to share with you the four eulogies that were given at the service to honor Dr. Sproul. We begin with one of R.C.'s longtime personal friends, Mr. Guy Rizzo.
This was R.C., who in the mid-80s I first saw hanging around the men's grill at the golf club, sitting at a big table surrounded by books, with a yellow legal pad and a pen, sitting there scribbling out what I much later found out to be one of his books. One day, I heard R.C. say to a friend, "The Bible is the word of God, inerrant and inspired, without contradictions. If there are any contradictions in the Bible, and I believe it to be the word of God, then God would have to be contradictory, and therefore no God at all." This was R.C., who I'd corner in the locker room over there, or where he was having breakfast at 5 a.m., and ask him about apparent contradictions I dove into the Bible to find. He always explained them away, gave me more to think about, and allowed the development of an ongoing dialogue. This was R.C., who gave patient explanations with a consistent logic, even when I asked the same question different ways, to the point I almost annoyed myself. He never called me an idiot or just plain stupid until much later, after we had become friends. This was R.C., who, while I was a heathen, agreed to do a Bible study at the club for 6 or 8 people to answer questions and teach. He started in Luke, and after 3 years, he'd gotten to chapter 3. But he had gone through most of the Old Testament in explaining it and leading up to it. This was R.C., who enjoyed being with the guys, playing cards, hunting, golfing, enjoyed laughing and joking, teasing and being teased, but whose actions never betrayed his convictions. This was R.C., who never condemned anyone or acted condescending, who loved people. I can't recall all the guys who would come to him with personal or spiritual problems, and he'd provide for them. I started another Bible study at a new club about 7 years ago, and this was R.C., who enjoyed coming, who allowed himself to be called my little helper, whose head would shake and whose hairy eyebrows would raise when I mispronounced something, misstated something, or started down some path of unorthodoxy. But he would answer everybody's questions there in detail and often with great humor. This was R.C., who, along with Vesta, shared my wife Penny and my trials and joys, those of our family and so forth, these last 25 years, who showed us love and set us an example as a couple. Vesta's devoted care for R.C. is a real-life picture of Ruth, and his uncompromising love for her was immeasurable, as he considered her his treasure. Even if he called her, she who must be obeyed. This was R.C., who was a family friend, teacher, and spiritual father, who was so real that he admitted to being a sinner and never gave the impression he was righteous himself, whose actions and attitude always showed that he truly believed the expression, at the same time, just and sinner. This was R.C., a winsome, loving, caring man with a dedicated affection to his Lord and Savior, who said, "When I die, I will be identified with Christ's exaltation, But right now, I'm identified with his affliction. Well, RC's afflicted no more. Although there's a gaping hole in my heart at the loss of my friend, who I truly loved, I'm joyful for him, and I know I will see him again when we both worship our Savior eternally. Thank you.
That was one of Dr. R.C. Sproul's longtime personal friends, Mr. Guy Rizzo. Next, we will hear from the president and CEO of Ligonier Ministries, Chris Larson.
Eulogy. I'm pretty sure I learned the meaning of the word from R.C. several decades ago. He loved words. He loved to help you understand the meaning of words. He also loved an economy of words. So it doesn't feel quite right to be doing this without him sitting right there on the front row while I'm speaking and having him check his watch every couple minutes. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Many of us would have difficulty telling of our walk with the Lord without the entrance of Dr. Sproul into some point of our journey. For me, it was as a college student about 26 years ago in a church parking lot late on a Sunday night over on the east coast of Florida. But where were you? Where were you when RC's Bible teaching ministry made an impact in your life? What story would you tell? In the days since he's gone to be with the Lord, so many testimonies of gratitude have been published and even continue to be written. And it is clear in one sense that if you ever heard R.C. teach, or if you met him, he belonged to you in a personal way. God used R.C. And as many others who have served over the years at Ligonier Ministries could attest, it was not a little intimidating to work for RC. RC's mind was exacting, rapier sharp, and he possessed a memory. Oh, did he have a memory? He remembered everything. And he was an omnicompetent man, gifted in so many disciplines beyond just biblical and theological studies. In all transparency, to be able to have served Dr. Sproul at Ligonier is a kindness from the Lord that I will never be able to explain. We look at his ministry as one that was blessed by God, and we see also the blessing of God in the large amount of teaching that he has produced and leaves behind. Were that all of us could be as productive for the Lord's kingdom. Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." RC reminded us that this is our mission, to pray and to work so that as many people as possible understand that God is holy, that God should be regarded as holy throughout the whole earth. This is the Seraphim song, and this was RC's heartbeat. No one can replace R.C. Sproul. And his vision was not to find one person to succeed him. Instead, his vision was to see the truth of the gospel living and active in the lives of those millions of Christians around the world who right now are growing in their understanding of who God is, of who they are, their need for a Savior, and the precious opportunity we all have to serve Christ in our generation. We can now glorify God and understand that in a better way, no matter what calling has been given to each of us, in a very real way. If God used RC in your life, you honor his memory as you live today, coram Deo, in the presence of God. As he walked up the steps of this pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, he confessed to some of us the truth that he took encouragement from something that Spurgeon would pray as he ascended his own pulpit those many years ago. Spurgeon would pray, "I believe in the Holy Ghost," from the Apostles' Creed. And R.C. would confess that and pray that even as he ascended the steps of this pulpit right here. R.C. knew that without the sovereign grace of God at work in the proclamation of the gospel, all of our efforts are in vain. Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." R.C. was steadfast. R.C. was immovable. R.C. was abounding in the Lord's work. And by God's grace, R.C.'s labors were done in the Lord, and they were not done in vain. Sola Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory.
That was the president and CEO of Ligonier Ministries, Chris Larson. Next, we will hear from Ligonier Teaching Fellow and the new chairman of the board of Ligonier Ministries, Dr. W. Robert Godfrey.
When I think of R.C. Sproul, I think, first of all, perhaps of vitality. And when I heard that he was in the hospital, I thought, oh, he'll be out soon. He's done this before. Not just because he'd done it before, but I thought of his vitality because he so exuded vitality. He exuded life. He enjoyed life. Those of us who are privileged to spend time with him, whether publicly or privately, because he was the same man both places, could see that enjoyment. See it especially with Vesta, his love, his companion, his counselor, his co-worker. That life inspired us because R.C. Sproul was no dour Calvinist. He enjoyed the goodness of God's creation. But in a very profound sense, the life of R.C. Sproul was the Word of God. Moses, at the end of his life, handed the scriptures to Israel and said, "This is no empty word, it is your life." And I observed that over and over again in my opportunities to see R.C., that the Word was his life. He lived out the Word. He lived in the Word. He lived for the Word. And there was a marvelous authenticity in all that he did. It was serious because it was God's Word. I've known theologians that I felt played games with theology and saw it was a matter of scoring against others. It was never that way for R.C. For R.C., it was life. It was eternal life or eternal death. Whether you knew the Word, the living Word, the eternal Word, the incarnate Word, the inscripturated Word, he had a passion for the truth. And he marshaled all the marvelous natural gifts that God had given him in the service of the truth, in the service of the Word. He had a phenomenal memory, not just for the mistakes of those around him, but much more importantly, a phenomenal memory for philosophy and for theology, for history, the queen of the sciences. For the scriptures. He was connected to the great history of the church. He knew that history. He knew its theology. He knew the ways in which that history and theology had lived out of the Word of God, and he wanted to preserve it and teach it and pass it on, and he did it so marvelously. He stands in that great American heritage from Jonathan Edwards to Charles Hodge to B.B. Warfield to J. Gresham Machen to John Gerstner. Great theologians. Great because they were biblical. Great because they were faithful. Great because they were balanced. Great because they were profound. Great because they were clear. Great because they knew how to prioritize what was important. And R.C. was all of those things. He prioritized God and Christ and the scriptures and justification. And he taught us all marvelously those things. What a teacher. What a teacher. He had that very nearly unique gift in history to combine profound learning with fascinating teaching ability. He was the learning of Jonathan Edwards combined with the communication skills of George Whitefield. If this were not a serious occasion, I would say he had the profound learning of B.B. Warfield combined with the communication skills of Amy Semple McPherson. He lived out God's truth in all that he did. He taught us, and we will not see his like. A light has gone out, a champion has fallen, a friend is gone. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
That was Ligonier Teaching Fellow and President Emeritus of Westminster Seminary, California, Dr. Robert Gunfrey. Finally, we'll hear from the pastor of Grace Community Church in Southern California, Dr. John MacArthur.
I want to express my love to you, Vesta. Thank you for loving me and I think allowing RC to love me as well. A great treasure in my life. I never expected to have the honor of knowing him personally. I was a mildly dispensational Baptist. What hope was there for me? I was like a guy in the Civil War with gray pants and a blue coat. I was being shot by both sides. And then, almost out of nowhere, RC stepped into my life, and I just want to speak of that in three ways. First of all, as a friend. It just seemed to me out of nowhere that I was given an invitation to come and speak at a Ligonier conference. And I had some history with some people very close to RC, namely John Gerstner. John had actually come to Grace Church and done a series. And in his wonderfully inimitable way, he said about me, since you're a dispensationalist, you're going to end up a heretic. He later told RC that didn't happen because I don't think logically. Nonetheless, for reasons I don't know, Vesta, RC opened his heart to me and invited me to Ligonier to speak. And then he assigned me to speak on the doctrine of election, which I actually thought at the time he had invented. And he was there with his Diet Coke on the front row and his feet crossed. And I knew this was a test. And it was the most public test a human being could ever have to put his theology on display before the great theologian himself. He opened up my life to the riches of Reformed theology. I had discovered it on my own. It's as if I saw the glory tucked away in a rock, and somehow through his ministry and the connections that he made with other people and writers, even going back in history, the full glory of the doctrines of grace exploded on my conscience. He even had the temerity to ask me to debate him on baptism. This was terrifying to me. I never studied for anything that hard in my entire life. If anything came out of that, it proved that if I get desperate enough, I can work hard. And especially when I know who my teacher is. He even nicknamed me Boris. That's another story. But he always endearingly said to me, Johnny Mac. And the last time we had a conversation here, He said to me, finally, why is it, Johnny Mac, that I always have to tell you what you believe? I adored him for that, so many other things. But I saw him not only as a friend, I saw him as a great defender. As affable, as irrepressibly charming as he was a defender of the faith, even when he was looking in the eyes of a very cherished friend. He never wavered on the gospel. He was strength to me. I always felt like whenever I got into a battle, whether it was way back in the inerrancy conference, there was RC. When it was the gospel, there was RC. When it was the charismatic movement, there was RC. Always standing faithfully for the truth. It was a sad reality in my life that the Lord put us on two coasts because I didn't have the time with him I really wanted. But whenever I did, it was an indescribable treasure. And then one other category. I think you have to understand this. This is the greatest time in the history of the church for the expansion of sound doctrine. You might say this is the greatest explosion of the truth in history. And the truth, of course, is captured in the doctrines of grace and Reformed theology. People look at the church today and what's going on. Very often they say to me, this is a very sad time. There's so much bad preaching. There's so much unbiblical ecclesiology. There's so much poor spiritual leadership. There's so much disinterest in the doctrine of sanctification. There's no real sense of holiness and worship and, you know, all these things. At the same time, there's never been a time in the history of the world where sound doctrine is so available in a split second anywhere on the planet. And the point of the spear for that entire movement in our time was R.C. Sproul. He is this era's great reformer. Because he was my friend, because he was my fellow soldier and defender, and because I follow him as the leader of this explosion of truth, I honor him today by expressing my profound love for him and, as Bob said, the deep hole in my heart that he's not here anymore. But I thank the Lord that he let me into his life for all the blessing it has brought to me. Thank you.
That's Dr. John MacArthur speaking at the memorial service for Dr. R.C. Sproul. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb. And I know that many of the thousands of you who didn't know R.C. personally felt as though you entered into his life as well. That's reflective of the way R.C. taught. He just had a way of drawing you in and helping you see and understand God and his word. Our loss is great, but we cannot focus exclusively on our loss. If we did, R.C. would say in his endearing manner, "What's wrong with you people?" We must focus on our God, whose strength is made perfect in our weakness. Dr. Sproul's memorial service was Wednesday, December 20th, and we've shared just a portion of that with you today. We'll hear the rest of the service tomorrow here on the program. If you'd like to share a memory of R.C. or leave a word of encouragement to the Sproul family, we would encourage you to go to rcsproul.com. There you'll see tributes to Dr. Sproul written by many of our teaching fellows and photos of Dr. Sproul's life and ministry. We've heard from so many of you already, and it's been such an encouragement to the family and to us here at Ligonier Ministries. Again, that website is rcsproul.com. Well, tomorrow we'll return to St. Andrew's Chapel to hear the conclusion of Dr. Sproul's memorial service. His longtime friend and colleague in ministry, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson, will share a meditation based on Isaiah chapter 6. Yes, that's the passage that was the basis of Dr. Sproul's teaching on the holiness of God. But first, we want to conclude today's program with a hymn, The Secret Place. Dr. Sproul wrote it in collaboration with composer Jeff Lippincott. It's from Psalm 91, referring to being sheltered under the wings of God. Verse 1 says, Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Let's listen now.